Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast, and this is episode 8, and it's the 17th of October 2013. Coming up today, I'm going to talk a bit about what I do for composting. That time of year when we're probably all starting to clear away things and have a good tidy up. It's probably time when we want to find what to do with our waste. And after that, I'm going to talk about what I've been doing in this last week. Firstly, just a couple of things. Just like to let you know, I've just got a new microphone for recording, which is what I'm using currently. Hopefully now the sound quality will be better for you, but only time can tell that. It seems okay. I've tested it and tested it, so we shall see. Secondly, who was watching Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall's new TV programme, River Cottage at the Core, last night? If so, you would have seen he mentioned something that I was talking about last week, by coincidence, which was the growing of fruit trees in places that we can all do it. I'm not the only one that says this, so yeah, and I'm quite a fan of the River Cottage series. I like the way they take what we cook, or what we grow, sorry, and use it for food. One of the key things about this is to grow what we eat and eat what we grow. I think that's quite a good slogan, and possibly one I'm gonna use. So with that, okay, I'm going to talk to you about composting. Now, composting may not sound the most exciting thing, but it turns waste into a really good soil conditioner and plant food, which in turn gives us better produce, which in turn gives us better food. Why do we compost? Well, as I just said, it turns waste into a really good plant food and compost and growing media. Now, I employ two different methods of composting. There's not much difference between the two. Now, what I compost, I pretty much compost anything from that I can. If it's diseased, I'll burn it. If it's things like perennial roots, so dandelions and stuff, I will try and dry them out first by just putting them on a bit of wire mesh hanging in the air, just to kill them off before they go into the compost heap. Now, in the compost heaps, or the compost bins, whatever you have, I throw everything. So that would be grass clippings, kitchen waste, although all uncooked and no meat. I'll come to those bits later. Tree clippings, newspaper, cardboard, coffee grinds, tea bags. It all goes in there. Basically, if it was living, it can go in there. Now, I don't necessarily always chop it down small. Sometimes I might chop it down a bit smaller, but not all the time. I throw it all in there and leave it. Now, there are expert ways of doing it. It's all about your green material, which is your things like lawn clippings and stuff, and your browns, which are like leaves and wood. They're meant to be at a 50-50 balance, but I generally find if I just throw it in there, it's fine. I don't worry too much about making it all perfectly 50-50. I add some horse manure or some seaweed as well, just to help it along. And the wood chippings that I use for the paths, if I've got a bit extra of that, I will throw that in as well. As I said, I have two methods. The first is what I call my cold composting. Now, these compost bins are made out of pallets. And I just throw everything in there and leave it. Once it builds up, once the bin's full, move on to the next one. And it's as simple as that. The reason I call it cold composting is because I don't turn it, and it doesn't have any, because they're made out of pallets, it doesn't really have any insulation properties. The next method is what I call hot composting. Now, these are what I use are the black compost bins, the Dalek type bins you probably know of. They're quite common. And I fill them with the same material as with the cold compost bins. And I once a week, or whenever I'm passing, I just turn them with an old fork. And I find that this builds up the heat enough. And by turning it, it keeps the heat going. And you get the stuff in the centre, which has been cooked and composted well, it gets stuff on the edge into that position. Now, it's amazing how hot it can actually get. Even cold composting can get quite hot in the centre. I have, in many years ago, I did see a type of composter that you use for heating your greenhouse. I don't know if it's still about, but that just shows how hot these things get. Now, with hot composting, seed heads and perennial roots can, I guess, go through. I try not to, but nobody's perfect. The reason I would normally avoid things like seed heads and stuff is, obviously, in your compost, what you don't want is more weeds. And the composting, if it gets hot enough, will kill off the seeds, but it does need to get hot enough. So I would not recommend this for cold composting. Now, as I said, the experts talk about a 50-50% of greens and browns, but I wouldn't worry about this too much. As long as it's not just always lawn clippings or similar, you'll be okay. I just throw whatever you produce into there and it's fine. Sometimes, in particular with the Dalek bins, as I'll call them from now on, you need to pour on some water just to help them along. I'll just pour a bucket full on and spread it all around and give it a good mix round. It doesn't want to be flooded, just damp and wet. This, again, helps with the heating process and the breakdown of materials. Now, the reasons that these break down is, one, due to it just basically rotting away, which sounds obvious, but also things like slugs and worms chew through it, and what they come out with is what you might call worm castings, or basically the end result, the compost. Now, as I said, meat and cooked foods shouldn't be compost in this way because they attract vermin, and the last thing you want is rats. That being said, I do chuck cooked vegetable material in the wormery that we have, and I don't get any problems with that. Wormery is basically another type of compost bin, just on a much smaller and a much finer grade, and just full of worms. There are other things on the market, things such as the hot bin compost, which I would like, just don't have a space at the moment. Which can also, you can also throw meat in. Now these have quite a tight fitting lid, and they are hot composting. And a combination of these, along with all the other vegetable matter, keeps rats and vermin away while keeping the heat in and creating some wonderful compost, which also reduces your waste going into the bin. Now, as I said, the end result is like a compost, like a soily type mixture. It's not the same as multi-purpose compost you can buy from, say, garden centres or DIY centres. The multi-purpose composts have added nutrients and are made in a specific way from specific things to get that perfect result for multi-purpose. But I do fill pots up with this compost from the compost heaps to grow trees and plants in, and it's quite successful. But it does work, does need the regular top up of just a bit of compost for the extra nutrients. Now, you don't really have to have bins like I've talked about. You can just make a compost heap, just pile it up and leave it to be. Or another thing you can do is dig a trench and fill it with your material, then backfill the trench, and it rots down underground, which is a good way of adding more nutrients into the ground. Now, this might be something I might experiment with in the future. Generally, I do a no-dig method, but I might, for the case of this podcasting, I might try this one day. Just thinking about it, I could do my potatoes in it this year, so I might do that. Now you've got me thinking. So that's what I do with the composting. Hopefully, you're all composting anyway, so I'm probably talking a load of rubbish. Just one thing, if you want to speed it up, chop it up smaller. You can use just shears or a shredder. It's all very good, all works, and it's all very good. But I don't worry too much about it, just throw it in there. It probably takes about a year to fully compost down in the cold compost. The hot compost in 3 to 6 months. I don't generally do leaves this way either. It's just one more thing I would like to say. I tend to use that for leaf mould, which I just fill another type of bin up with leaves and leave them to rot down, and they make a great soil conditioner. They don't really have much in the way of nutrients, but they do hold on to moisture quite well, and they're very good for, say, seedlings. Right, so what have I done in the last week? Well, last Friday, I popped to the allotment in the evening on the way home from work, just quickly, and filled a couple of bins up before I got there with the wood chippings for the path. And just when I got to the allotment, I poured them onto the path and spread them out just to keep on top of weeds a bit more. As I said before, they do need quite regular topping up. So, yeah, I'm doing that. I then got some pallets on, again, after leaving the allotment Friday, and I got some pallets. And when I returned on the Saturday morning, I quickly dumped them there and built a new compost bin in the area I've discussed in the past. Hence why I decided to talk about composting. After this, I popped off to my horse manure supplier and got a few more bins full of horse manure, which I've taken and just dumped into a pile or a couple of piles on the allotment. I then completed building the new compost bin, just 3 pallets, making like a cube shape with one end open, screwed together to stand up on some level ground, and I just on the soil or grass area really, and then I just throw compostable materials into there. I will be adding a door, and I will be painting them with some weatherproof protection wood paint, just to make them one look a bit more acceptable, so they all look like the same pallets, and two to protect them, protect the wood like you would a shed. I do intend to add more pallets to this in the future. After this, I went into the polytunnel and gave everything a good water. Harvested a few more tomatoes and chilies. I then went outside. I noticed my outdoor tomatoes here are now suffering from light blight, so they'll be cut down and burned. I harvested a couple of cabbages I had growing as well. Some of the slugs and stuff have been eating those, the tops of those, but I've harvested them, a couple of them, just cutting them on the stalk, lifting the whole crowns out. I decided it was time to clean the wormery out. Now I pulled the top one off, which just had worm castings in it, and finally went through it, taking any worms out and popping them back into the bottom tier. I saved the worm castings into a bucket, which will be spread around the allotment. I poured everything from the second tier into the bottom tier with all the worms and everything. So the top two tiers are currently clear. And I'll be filling those up with some more compostable materials from the kitchen, such as potato peelings, carrot tops, etc, etc. After this, I went to my asparagus bed and dug some deep holes and planted some asparagus crowns I had. I bought these from a garden centre, and they are called Governor's Colossal. Now, I dug these about 5 inches deep, spread the roots out, and backfilled them. I gave them a good water. I then topped off with some compost on the top. And hopefully these will grow some wonderful asparagus. They will take about 3 years to be edible. But I've not had much luck with asparagus in the past, so this will be a very good test for me. Normally I planted them in the spring, so I'm hoping by planting them in the autumn, they'll be better to get established over the winter. Again, I'll report on that in the future. I harvested more tabaries. Tabaries are really coming in at the moment, doing really well with those, so plenty of those coming in. I also harvested some of the autumn raspberries. Not a huge amount, but they're coming in as well, which is always excellent to have. I then got on and done a bit more weeding up the allotment. All the weeding material going into the compost heaps. Added some horse manure to the compost heap as well. Yeah. After that, I went home on Sunday. Done a bit at home, just a bit of cleaning. Now my water butt, I noticed, was full. So I've started, well, it was nearly full, I should say, really. 7/8 full, I suppose. Started pulling it out and pour it into the other water butts that aren't connected. I did notice on the main water butt there was a little leak. And slight crack in it. Nothing huge, but I will fill that with a bit of putty. I'll do it on the inside and the outside once it's empty and dry. Now, with the amount of rain we've had, it's obvious that things are going to, their water butts are going to get full, so it's not a huge problem filling the other two up. I've got no tomatoes left in the garden, but the tomatillos I have started harvesting, and yeah, they have done really well. They're producing loads of nice green tomatillos that I'll be making into a salsa verde. So that'll be interesting. See how it goes. Now on Tuesday, I was heading off to work and happened to pass a lay-by. And in this lay-by, I saw what I originally thought was a bin, which I thought, on my way back, I will grab that, as that'll be handy up the allotment. But as I got further down the road, I sort of thought that looked more like a water butt. Well, on the way back, I did stop off and I picked it up. And sure enough, it was a water butt. It basically looked like somebody had filled this water butt with rubbish to throw it away, but the water butt had never been used. It had just been used to fill up with all this rubbish and then dumped, which I can't stand littering anyway. But I picked this up. It's a 200 litre water butt, and that's replacing the large one that I spoke about earlier in the garden that has the slight crack in it, and that one will now be going up the allotment. But there's nothing wrong with this water butt. It's in perfect condition. Just somebody obviously just didn't want it and threw it away. Now, if you annoyingly, water butts, gardeners will grab. No, if people don't want them, put them on free cycle. People will have them. I've seen them on free cycle before, and I've tried to grab them, and they've gone before I can even get there. In fact, free cycle is a very good resource for gardeners, so it's well worth looking on there if you think you need something. That's freecycle.org. I will put the link on the show notes today. But yeah, I got this water butt home and set it up, removing the old water butt. All the herbs on the top I've put down where the tomatoes were originally. Set up, drained all the water out and into the other two water butts, and they are now full up, and this new water butt will be filling up every time it rains. I had to cut the unknown tree back a bit in order to fit this water butt. Not a huge problem, it's still quite nicely disguised. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap up now. So again, thank you for listening. Please go to the website, thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. I've had quite a few members sign up in this last week, actually. And I'd love more people to sign up. The thing is, nobody is actually talking. So if somebody would be good enough to just make a little message, leave a little note on there, I will mention you on here. So with that, thank you very much. This has been Richard from the Veg Grow Podcast.